You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Coming off a historic 2016, how does this team, and Joe Madden in particular, keep this team from being complacent headed into 2017?
With Joe Madden, things are never complacent. I'm not sure that's a word that fits. He's already decided that his themes for this year are going to be uncomfortable, be authentic, and also don't forget the heartbeat, which refers back to the rain delay and the little pep talk Jason Hayward gave the players in Game 7. We've been kind of waiting to see what they're going to do. He's been planning a big surprise, and we usually get a lot of interesting things during practice. We had some live bear cubs last year. We had a mime. We had a band come out here and perform. So you never know what to expect. So he's doing everything he can to keep things lively. What I like is that the players appear to be very hungry. They're not resting on their laurels at all.
How much will the team rely on players that have won before, like a Lester or a Lackey, just in order to keep the ship righted and keep their focus in this year?
Yeah, Lester and Lackey are key, but actually I think they already started it, which sounds funny, because David Ross told them shortly after the World Series was over, turn the page. So he's sort of got them thinking, okay, it's over, let's go and get going to 2017. So it's, yeah, turn the page is the other theme that's being stressed here.
Turnover is a large part of the game for any team, especially a team that has the success that the Cubs had last year. But the nucleus of this team is intact. How important is that continuity from last year into this season?
The Cubs come into spring training with so many position player spots already set. Really, there's no battles as far as position players go. They're just looking for some bench players and try and sort that out. And it's which is really key. Okay, yes, they're going to miss Dexter Fowler, who signed with the Cardinals, but they've already projected Kyle Schwarber as being a leadoff guy, possible leadoff guy, and that would take care of what Fowler did.
Versatility is such a hallmark of any Joe Madden team, in particular this team that has the athletes that they have all across the diamond. How important is that versatility and athleticism for what Joe wants to do, and just even for the players, in order to spell players, give them rest, and be able to play a multitude of positions?
Yeah, the versatility is really big. I mean, I'll never forget the game where Chris Bryant played third base, left field, and right field, and I think he got like four hits or something and went crazy that game. Joe likes to have players that he can move around, pieces that he can move around. They will miss Travis Wood, who was a reliever who did play outfield and made a great catch, but I think that some of the other relievers feel a little challenged by that to see if they can sort of step in. You're going to have Ben Zobrist become a little bit more of that super utility guy again. He'll be playing left field and second base because of the emergence of Javier Baez. So guys are going to have to be on their toes. And actually, I think the players like it. They think it's fun.
How do you see this lineup shaking out? Joe has a lot of different options. Obviously, you know what the middle of the lineup is going to look like, but he's got a lot of different options with moving guys up and down the lineup.
Lineup will be pretty much the same as it was kind of toward the end of last year, but what Joe's been talking to us about is how he's considering whether or not to have the pitcher bat eighth. That's something he wanted he likes to call them the geeks, talk about and sort of run the numbers on it to see if maybe having Schwarber bat first, having the pitcher eighth, and then maybe Albert Almora Jr. at nine would give another player to get on base ahead of Schwarber, give him another RBI situation. So they might return to that, which Madden did during 2015.
Speaking of Schwarber, so much has been made of his story last year and coming back from the injury just in time to help the team get over the hump and win the World Series. How do you see Schwarber's season playing out so far? And talk a little bit about the time that you are seeing with him behind the plate in the spring.
I think one of the most fun days so far this spring, and they haven't been here in camp very long, but was on Friday, when Schwarber actually got to go catch a bullpen session with John Lackey. John Lackey gave him a huge hug, which was really sweet, and then Schwarber went and caught the session. And we all knew that Schwarber wanted to do more, but they're limiting him to 1 to 2 workouts like that a week just to sort of ease him into it. This was a major issue. If he had only torn one ligament, he could come back a lot faster. He tore two ligaments in his left knee, and it's just a slow process. I think they're looking at him as the third catcher, kind of the emergency catcher. I know he would prefer to be higher, but then again, he could be the Cubs catcher in 2018, 2019, backing up Wilson Contreras, which would give them two really good young catchers.
Few players have had the start to their career as prolific as Chris Bryant. Is there room to improve, and how high is the ceiling for this young man?
We've been trying to figure out what award he can win next, because he's already won the he won the college baseball player award, then the minor league player award, then the rookie of the year, then he was the MVP. So I'm not sure what you do next after that. He's already got the World Series. The nicest thing I think that fans should know about Chris Bryant is he may be the most humble MVP you're going to meet. I mean, all this fame, all this success has not changed him one iota. And that's really impressive to me, to see a young kid like that. He could be all excited about all the bling and all the everything that goes with being an MVP, but he's handled it really well.
Let's talk about the rotation. The key components of the rotation remain intact from last year. Obviously very strong up top. Tell us a little bit about the importance of that continuity, and as well as the battle for the fifth spot in the rotation.
Actually, the Cubs are in really good shape pitching-wise. You know, they've got John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Jake Arrieta, and John Lackey back. And then there's a little bit of a fight for the fifth spot between Brett Anderson and Mike Montgomery, two lefties. What will be interesting in spring training is that they're going to ease the regulars into action. Fans won't see those four until, like, after 1 week of games because of they played a seventh-month season, and they want to make sure that they don't put too much stress on them. So now Anderson and Montgomery will be getting starts, as well as a lot of the bullpen guys. The issue on this team is trying to figure out who's going to be in the bullpen at the end.
Let's talk about that bullpen, because one of the key components is no longer here, and they made a big trade to get another elite-level closer. How do you see this bullpen shaking out?
Well, we've got Wade Davis at the end, and that's set, and then you've got Hector Rondon and Pedro Strop. Justin Grimm and Carl Edwards Jr. really emerged in terms of a setup guy. And after that, those other spots are going to be kind of interesting to see how they get filled out. There's just a lot of pitchers in camp. Koji Uehara, I forgot him. He's here, veteran presence. He also has World Series experience, so he knows what it takes. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. But the thing that I kind of like watching is like a Carl Edwards Jr. Here's a guy who I don't think anybody expected to be pitching in Game 7 of the World Series, and yet he was in there making key outs. If Montgomery doesn't make it in the rotation, he would go to the bullpen, which would give him a lefty down there. So they're still sorting it out, and that's what's going to be kind of the focus in spring training.
Final question for you. Who are some of the younger players that you are keeping an eye out during the spring that maybe necessarily won't break camp with the club, but we could see them down the line, possibly even in September?
Not in September, but one player that fans should really hopefully enjoy watching is Eloy Jimenez and also Ian Happ. Happ is ranked number one on the MLB.com list of Cubs' top 30 prospects, and Jimenez is number two. Happ has really come along a long way. He was a number one pick. Played a lot of second base, focused on that. Really good little infielder, and they've had him moving around, part of Madden's versatility thing. Jimenez is just a stud. Big guy, power, outfielder. He's only 20 years old, so he was at Class A South Bend last year, so he's still a ways away. But if I were coming to spring training, those are the guys I'd kind of like to see, because I sort of like to see the future Cubs.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.